Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Listen and soak it in.
You're tapped into the Fantasy Pipeline with Dan and Mike from South Harmon. The show built to uncover tomorrow's dynasty stars today.
Sanders in a pocket. Oh, what a catch! Travis Hunter! Give him the Heisman now!
Number four. On 35. Howard will throw it underneath.
Oh, it's picked up! Down the sideline! Unbelievable touchdown! Penn State! Zion Tracy!
Toward the end zone! For the game! It is! Caught by Wester! Just like 1994!
Welcome in, everyone, to episode 5 of the Fantasy Pipeline. I'm your host, Dan, joined today again with my amazing co-host, Mike. Welcome in, bro. How you doing
today? What's up, buddy? We're living it.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks again for coming in and joining me, even though you're not feeling so good again.
We're on the tail end of it. We kept the food inside today.
Well, that's good news.
It's more than I can say for all weekend.
Oh my goodness. What's going on with your body, bro? You've been breaking down.
Just what you want, right? Yeah. You want to be sick all weekend while you don't have to work, and then, first day back, you're like, no, I'm fine. I'm good enough to go to work.
It's the worst. The worst. Oh no. I'm sorry, bud. Well, I'm glad you're back. I'm glad you're kind of alive. So
kind of.
Appreciate kind of, you showing
keyword.
Up. Awesome, man. Well, let's start off with a recap of the weekend real quick. So I'll try to get you out of here fast so you can go to bed.
I'm going to pass out hard, man.
I believe it. First game I want to start with is Oklahoma versus Auburn. Jackson Arnold versus John Mateer. John Mateer wins this one. That's the first one of the stretch he's about to go through. So he knocked off number first ranked team. So starting to check those boxes. Auburn, though, falls to, Oklahoma. And what, you see any bit of this game at all? What do you think?
Yeah, I got to watch some, in between runs to the bathroom. You know what I'm saying? Runs to the bathroom. No, it was pretty good. Oklahoma actually looks pretty for real.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting, too, because you had a little bit of like the revenge narrative. It didn't work out for Jackson Arnold last year playing at Oklahoma. He ended up getting benched a few times last year. I see him go against his old team, go back to Oklahoma and have to play him. There's some intrigue around there, especially for two SEC teams that were undefeated, heading into this game. So I thought Jackson Arnold actually did play pretty well, all things considered. But John Mateer just got that dog in him, man. He ain't going to let him loose. Oklahoma might actually be a real legit contender here.
I mean, and
if I'm Texas, I'm shitting my pants, man. Yeah.
Running for his life. Dude got sacked 10 times, bro.
School record. School record. I was pulling for him, too. I did catch enough of that game. I was pulling for him there at the end. I was like, they got a chance. They can set the record. They got 9. They tied it. Let's go. Let's go 10. And
the safety at the end, 2 to tie it. Oh, wow. I mean, to break it, that was fun. Good stuff. Yeah,
he got beat up, man.
He really did. That poor guy. Poor guy. And Cam Coleman, only 3 catches, but he had some big ones and some nice catches on some nice underthrown balls. But, you know, it worked out. It worked out.
Ho-hum. You should just throw the ball to 8 all the time. Yeah, every play. Just every play. Dude,
he was mossing. He was going up for it. You couldn't stop him. I don't know. Oh, well. What's it called? John Mateer, though, man, he looked pretty good. I thought he had some nice throws in that game, and I was kind of impressed. He hung in there, and he looked decent. Definitely looked like he belonged or whatever. He didn't look out of place, so that was nice. Yeah. So
he gets a little bit more of a lax one next time that you see him back out. You know, gets a Kent State.
Hey, little regroup game. Get ready for the gauntlet like we talked about last week that he's about to go through, that poor guy.
Yep. Well, Texas, he's got him on October 11th, so that Red River rivalry will have a little bit more intrigue for this game. Oklahoma actually does look like a pretty legit contender.
Yeah, especially with that defense. That defense looked disgusting. So
about time Venables gets his shit together.
Right. Next one is a little bit of a womp womp. It's Indiana versus Illinois. Our poor boy, Cheese Sticks.
Oh, Cheese Sticks going to
not having a good day.
This is going to be his year. This is his year. Top 10 ranking, Illinois. Yeah. And then somebody forgot to tell him that they were supposed to show up to Bloomington for this game because they did not come at all.
No. No, they got their... Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was not good.
I guess that answers the question, though. We thought maybe last year was just an aberration for Indiana, you know, with Curtis Rourke. And nope. Mendoza out there just slinging that pill all over. Surratt Cooper didn't matter. 5 tutties on the day.
All game, dude. They just straight Jesus. Up dominated.
Killed them.
Yeah. Embarrassing, like, to be fair.
Fantastic game if you owned anybody on the Indiana offense.
Oh, literally anyone. It was literally everyone just went. But
and great, man.
Yeah, embarrassing. Definitely embarrassing. That's about all I got for that game. I just wanted to touch on that real quick.
I did not see that ass whooping coming.
Neither did I. I thought it would be close. Sometimes those games are really close and they're just hard nosed, but nope. Nope.
No, that final score, the way that game flow went, it looked like Ohio State was out there playing, you know, some Division II team, you know.
Yeah, not good. What about Arizona Baylor? Our boy.
It's not my boy. All right.
What do you mean? Come on. I was talking about Sam, not Robertson.
Okay. All right. Don't put that on me. No, Sam Levitt, man. I love the kid. You see the hate, though, like that starts with them? Twitter's a weird thing, man. When that game was getting played, I'm scrolling tweets, sitting on the John.
I really wasn't scrolling tweets. What did I miss?
People just talk about Sam Levitt like he's the worst quarterback ever to walk the face of the earth, and I don't understand. I don't understand what I'm watching with him that's so much different than everybody else. But
same. I'm, like, obsessed with the kid, and he's getting hate?
Yeah. Getting hate. I don't know why, man. I think he's playing his way into, you know, being in strong consideration for the first quarterback off the board if he decides he wants to come out this year.
He's probably mine. I really hope the NFL likes him as much as I do because that's going to obviously be the determining factor. But, man, that dude's slippery, dude. He was out there balling. He was slipping through the line. He was so impressive. He threw some dimes. What's it called? Again, I will stick with it. That dude reminds me of Baker, like straight up. I love it. He's a gamer.
He definitely is a gamer. I don't understand where the hate comes from, man. I thought he had a really good game. Maybe he started slow and people started to panic, but
They were playing hard versus each other. But like, I watched pretty much that entire game. It It was, but I mean, I don't know, dude. Like he was making plays, but oh well.
You hoped for a bigger game from Tyson, but you're not going to be sad with 7 for 43 and a touchdown. Mm-hmm. So
he had a huge bomb that he caught it, and the dude knocked it out like last second, and that would have been another like 40 yards onto his day. So
I'm just happy though, man. My guy, Relique Brown. It's his backfield. Yeah. Nobody else's. No competition. It's just him.
Tyson is coming back from an injury, so we'll see how that goes next week. But we'll see. We'll see.
We'll see. And then on the other side, long life. Long life for Michael Trigg. Still got hope, man. Still got hope.
That was in my notes. Is Trigg for real? Is the thing again?
Yeah. I loved him way back when he was a freshman, so it feels good now.
Reviving that career.
Yeah, we've come full circle. He's right. Back, man.
Dude, I thought he was dead. And then I guess he is. He looked pretty good out there too, man. He looked big and physical. So,
yep. Sawyer, just throw the ball to number one. That's all you need to do.
Apparently, and then hand it off to Bryson because that's my boy.
Just do those two things. You'll be fine. Yeah. You don't need any other wide receivers. They all stink.
Dang, the Baylor hate.
You'll have that.
Yeah, I mean, I with you. I get it. Next game. This is the one you were talking about last week. Was USC versus Michigan State. You get to peek in at that one at all? I know we were looking forward to it.
Did. No point in going to bed early on Saturday because I was just going to wake up again.
I helped move all day, and I was dead. So your boy went to sleep. How was it?
It was good. It was good to actually be able to see Maiava play and then Makai Lemon, right? We don't get a whole lot of USC time. I know they're playing the Big Ten. But, you know, all their home games are going to start late like this, right? Way out there, way past most of our old dad bedtime. So it's good to finally see them in person against a pretty good Michigan State team. And Michigan State did put up a hell of a fight. The only thing I was really kind of disappointed in, Aiden Childs had some moments, just looked inaccurate, like he couldn't really get it together. But I do still really like that kid's game, man. He's got everything that you want from a size and athleticism standpoint. He just sometimes gets a little bit too off. It's like Lenore Sellers light for me when I watch Aiden Childs play. So he put up a hell of a fight, almost could pull off what would have been considered an upset. USC was ranked. I did think they were the better team coming in, but Maiava did his thing. Lemon did his thing. Wayman Jordan did his thing. Then Aiden Childs went out there and balled, of course.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited to look at Wayman. At the end of the year, if he comes out, I think he's going to come out. But I'll be excited to peek at him.
Probably the biggest surprise out of that whole game is I had no idea who the hell Amari Kelly was. Kelly had a game. He had a game. You know about Nick Marsh, for sure. Nick Marsh gets all the highlights for Michigan State. But Amari Kelly was the star of their receiving corps in that game.
Nice. Yeah, he was I think Middle Tennessee was last year I had him. He was doing all right, and then he transferred up to Michigan State. So I think he actually transferred down and then transferred back up. I can't remember who he was before Middle Tennessee, but I believe it was a transfer down, the transfer back.
Hey, sometimes you need those years. You need those development years, man. Transfer portal is good.
Yes. Yeah, I like it. It's fun. But all right, so I think that was the recap. Those main of the games I wanted to talk about. Do you have any other ones you wanted to bring up?
Yeah, Nebraska going down to Michigan, Big Ten matchup. You know, we were trying to figure out if Nebraska was really for real. They hung around. Dylan Raiola did his thing, but for the most part, they just could not stop Michigan. Like, this Michigan offense is just different. Even with Bryce Underwood not really being able to throw the ball through the air, that ground attack led by Justice Haynes is just something else, man. And Jordan Marshall had himself a game. It was like everybody was going to eat. They only had three different players take carries in that game for Michigan. 290 yards, 3 touchdowns, every one of them over 60 yards. And that's including Bryce Underwood,
Bryce is the third, so it's really just the two backs and the quarterback.
Yep. And that's including Bryce, who's, you know, taking negative yardage on sack plays, right? Still managing over 60 and a tutty on the ground is pretty fucking impressive for that team.
Right. Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, I would be, you know, if I'm Ohio State fan, like you thought maybe this was the year that you finally get off the schneid against Michigan. If they can keep developing Bryce in the passing game with the way they can run the ball and do a pretty solid job playing defense, Michigan they might be back, man. They might actually be back, back.
That's not encouraging. I don't like that.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Well, we need the win this year. We need it, or it's gonna hurt a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. How many years in a row before you just, you know, yeah, start cutting yourself?
Facts. Yeah, it's gonna be pretty fun.
Yeah, and then I was hoping for a Purdue upset of Notre Dame, just so we could stop talking about Notre Dame for the rest of the year, but that didn't happen. Notre Dame throttled the shit out of them.
Yeah, unfortunately, they not only beat them, they throttled them, like you said. So that was disappointing.
Yes, very.
Yeah. Oh, well.
It happens. Any
others, or are we moving on to waivers and keep this rolling?
Yeah, we'll keep it rolling, man. You know, pretty much everybody did what they were supposed to. Miami went out and shit on Florida. That was expected. Yep. Florida State had Kent State.
we had a lot of cupcake matchups this week. Yeah. There wasn't a lot of...
You got Arch Manning out there flexing on Sam Houston. Like, I don't know why. I don't know why. People praising him for having a swagger back. It's Sam Houston, bro. Like,
yeah, I know.
Like, if Texas can't dominate Sam Houston, jeez. Come on.
Yeah, it's a little embarrassing. You're flexing on the wrong team, bro.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, we didn't have too many surprises. I thought the game of the week, I mean, towards the end, it got ridiculously out of hand. But for the longest time, that Utah-Texas Tech game was a fun watch, man. That was a slugfest going back and forth. And then the unheralded Will Hammond just comes out of nowhere after Morton goes down and just, who the fuck is this kid? Look at this guy.
Right. He's sitting on my bench and he went off. I was really pumped. I've been hanging on to him because I liked him.
Let's go, man. Yeah, I don't think he's gonna unseat Morton anytime soon, but wow. He looked good. Dude, he can sling it and he's athletic. He go out there and run a little bit. You like that.
Love it. Absolutely love it. So, all right. Well, let's move on into waivers. I got a few guys tonight. Let's see if I can get any hits for you.
All right, bud.
I don't know if you got any of your little $1 left or whatnot, but
we got a few bucks laying around.
A few bucks. I don't know if you want to spend it or not. That's also the next one, but we got a few guys here. So the first one I want to bring up is Terrell Anderson. He's a wide receiver from North Carolina State. He's a sophomore. He broke year 1-0 last year. So I grabbed him in some of my drafts and I was just like, you know what? Let's just see. We'll see how this dude does this year. He's kind of had okay production for the first 3 weeks. It was like three receptions literally all 3 weeks. 17 yards, 44 yards, 46 yards. And then this past week, he had 6 receptions, 166 yards, and 2 tutties. So went off versus Duke. Don't know how that's going to – if that's going to stick around, but he looks kind of promising. So he's a guy I'm interested in. He's how tall is he? 6'2", 192, so he's decent size, decent school. So,
well, you're not shocking me at all. Mm-hmm. It's Terrell Anderson on my team already, drafted last year in the 48th round.
Hey, look at that. Yep, he's 7% rostered for those who aren't as smart as Mike and drafted him already. So love it.
Just out there. I got to enjoy it. Best ball. I got to enjoy that performance this last week.
That was a good performance. And then for a young guy, too, it's nice. It's nice. Mm-hmm. Next guy, he's more of just a CFF guy. He's cheap CFF. So if you're in an unlimited waivers and you just kind of need a guy that might keep going and doing something, this might be the dude for you. His name is Nahzae Cox. And he plays for Middle Tennessee. He's had some good target volume throughout the last 3 weeks. He's had 10 targets week one, 7 targets week two, 8 targets week three, and this past week he had 11. And he turned the 11 targets this week into 6 for 94 and a tutty. He's already got 4 touchdowns on the year, and he's played 4 weeks. So that's nice to see that he seems to be like the main dude there. He's only 4% rostered, and he's got 17.6 points per game through 4 games. So he's got like pretty much all green schedule coming up. But again, CFF guy, cheap one, low roster percentage. Just somebody if you're in your best ball leagues, you want looking for some points. Maybe he'll hit a bigger week. But seems to be pretty consistent too, so that's kind of nice.
Yeah, and that guy is out there floating around. Floating around for the cheap production. And you do love that target volume for him.
Exactly. Right? And those lower tier schools or whatever, like you said, their schedules start to open up a little bit, and we might have a few more big weeks. So especially us in our best ball, he could be hitting.
Yeah, there's a couple wide receiver candidates I'm staring at right now, debating on whether or not to drop for him. Yeah, debating, right? Gotcha. Dazon Stribling has done. I mean, he finally had a game this past week, a little bit, 3 for 62, but not what you hope for when we went to that Ole Miss offense. You're like, ooh, massive update, right? Ole Miss offense, let's go. And then, no, not really. And listen, I just can't let my boy Reese Vanderzee just go yet. Like, come back. Yeah. Come back. We need you. This Iowa passing offense is showing like, right?
Again.
No, he hasn't played all season yet.
Yeah. So we at least want to see that. I get you. It's tough. I have a guy sitting on my roster, a few guys where I'm like, I just want to see him. So totally understand that.
Yeah. Here's the thing with Vanderzee too. Like, I keep holding on the hope for him. But it was labeled a freak foot injury, not expected to return until after the Indiana game. So, I got a feeling I'm going to hold on to him, and then like the first 2 weeks, he's going to look terrible, right? Because a foot injury for a wide receiver is rough, and it is the Iowa offense after all. It's bound to let me down.
Two targets a week, so you know.
Come on, we're showing life now. Gronowski out there, Tim Tebowing it up.
You love to see it. You love it. All right, next guy, Jordan Napier. He's wide receiver, San Diego State. He's a sophomore. He's 20% rostered. Looks like he's a redshirt sophomore. Sorry. He's 20% rostered. So he's only available in one of the leagues I'm in. So I don't know if he's available, but I'd at least peek. He's kind of right on that fringe border that I like to look at. So how about you? Is he available at all?
He's available.
That's a good test.
He's out there. He's out there chilling.
Nice. So week one comes out six targets, 3 receptions, 18 yards. Week two, he had 12 targets, 7 receptions, 69 yards. And this past week, 10 targets, 9 receptions, 154 yards and a tutty. San Diego State, pretty good passing game. So we'll see. I mean, he might be another CFF guy that we can look at. And a sophomore is nice. Get another at least 2 years.
Like the youth. You like the youth.
He's 6'1", 195, so he's not like a 5'6" wide receiver too, so that's always nice.
Hey, and now in the era of the transfer portal too, it's always nice to see these smaller school guys go out, mm-hmm. and if they dominate like he does, right, they have the opportunity to step it up a notch, right, and go to a bigger school, and then all of a sudden being talked about in NFL circles as a possible draft pick. So
true.
It's not just a pure death sentence anymore, just being a CFF producer. Especially at the wide receiver position. One of my favorites I was watching this weekend, Krishan McCray caught a touchdown pass there playing at MSU in that game. So I was like, hey, look at that. I remember him, small state guy from Kent State.
Is it Kent? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's funny because I had Nick Marsh, I had Amari Kelly, and I had Krishan McCray. So they all ended up right. The same team after the 1 year because I had him when he's in Kent. I had the other guy when he's in Middle Tennessee. Now they're all on Michigan State, which is really funny. So,
yep. Yeah, you always got that opportunity now.
Kind of messed up my lineup, though. I'm not going to lie.
I bet.
Do you have any other wide receivers? Those are the only three I really had this week.
Nope. The only ones that really stood out to me. I didn't get a whole lot of time to sit there and dig through it because I was digging through something else.
Oh, I love it.
I enjoy losing weight, just not like that, bud.
Yeah, that's not,
not like that. Yeah, that was the Matrix if there ever was one. I was that lady holding that dude's fucking head, just not like this. No. Not like this.
Oh man. All right, so this is the ones I actually have a little bit more. I got like six running backs, so we'll get through these guys real quick. And the first one I have up is Caleb Hawkins. He's a running back from North Texas. He's a true freshman. So first week comes in. He has 5 carries. He has 18 yards. He runs for 3.6 a carry. And then the next game, he goes up against Washington State. So kind of decent school, but I mean, he's North Texas, so I don't know. I mean, they blew him out, so I guess they're the better school this year. But he has 8 rushing attempts for 50 yards, and he runs for 3.6 a carry and a tutty. And then this past week, he goes against Army, has 13 carries, 99 yards, and 4 touchdowns. So, homie is, what is it? I think he's 200 pounds. So, he's a big boy.
Breaking out.
Yeah, playing on North Texas. He's gotten better every single week. So, he's got pretty much all green schedule. He's got like 3 non-green Fantrax matchups coming up. But he's got like South Alabama, South Florida, UTSA, Charlotte, Navy. All teams that I'm not worried about. And this North Texas offense is always usually pretty high-powered. So, looks like a 1-2 punch with him and get the other guy's name.
Oh, McGill.
Yeah, McGill. It's a 1-2 punch with those two, but he's the true freshman, so that's cool to see. And 4 tutties is pretty nutty.
Nothing to sneeze at, man. Nothing to sneeze at.
As I choke. But yeah, that's pretty sick. And then the next guy, though, is another true freshman. It's got themed tonight. Is Samuel Harris. This guy, I believe, I can't remember what week I talked about him, but I mentioned him at least in one of the past weeks. He's another true freshman from Wyoming. He came out week 1, 2 carries for a yard, so did nothing. Week 2, comes out, and he has 8 carries for 61 yards. That's 7.6 a carry and then a touchdown. And then the following week, he played Utah, and he had 8 carries, 68 yards. He ran for 8.5 a carry. And he had 3 targets, 3 receptions for 37 yards. So at least he's involved in the passing game too, so that was nice. And so this past week, he had 19 rushing attempts for 126 yards at 6.6 a carry. And what's it called? That was with Colorado. So Utah and Colorado definitely step up from his Wyoming school and still ran for 8.5 and 6.6 a carry versus both of them. And like the next guy closest to him, I think he only had 5 carries. Yeah, the next guy closest to him only had 5 carries. So it's pretty much looked like he's taking this job as a true freshman. He's only 1% rostered. So pretty cool.
We're about to up that. Yeah.
That's not a bad guy. I'm interested in him for sure. He's 5'11".
Unlike the last guy that you were mentioning too, right? You don't have to worry about a timeshare because it looks like he's taking this over.
Like, yeah, he's really looking like throughout the last 3 weeks he's taking it over.
His usage is increasing while the other guys is going down. You know what I mean? Unlike McGill still had, I think, 19 touches or whatever it was. Right. You know, still
their offense just is so high powered, is why I'm interested. But this guy looks like he actually has the volume. And versus Colorado and Utah, which are bigger schools than Wyoming, so
stepping his game up. So
still running for an efficient yards per carry, like 19 for 126 versus Colorado is nice.
My weekly sorry DB, jumping on it. Dan's got me. He's gonna see that waiver claim go through and get pissed.
Right. All right, so we got one. I'm happy. This guy might not be as widely available, but it's Dylan Riley from Boise State. He's 13% rostered technically. Not sure if he is for you. How are you looking there?
Still available.
Do you see his box score?
Oh my God, 62.25 points in this.
He went 19 for 171.
Yikes.
9 yards per carry. He had 2 receptions for 84 yards and a tutty this past week versus Air Force. He dominated Air Force. The week before, he had Eastern Washington, so small school, but he went 6 for 123 and a touchdown. So, I mean, we just had a guy come from this school who dominated. I don't know if Riley is going to get that much volume every week. Don't know, because they got 3 guys there. I don't know what their plan is exactly, but he kind of is making it hard for the team to take him off the field if you're gonna run like that.
Yeah. Also, another guy that I just pushed the button on. I don't, you know, you don't like to chase points. You know what I mean? It feels like you're chasing, but still, Like, that was a guy earlier in the year when I saw him play, too. That he just looks like he's got the juice, too. And this is a Boise State offense with Maddox Mattson that you're like, yeah, they're going to have to go back to just running the rock, right? Like the old Ashton Gentry days.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah, and I mean, the efficiency is usually what I like, too. Like, I love that. And then he can, because it shows you got the juice. So he's looked good. This isn't the first time. So that's good. So yeah, he's 13% rostered. I know in like, I think two of my leagues he's rostered and one of them he's available. So he's going to be pretty probably highly coveted this week after a huge performance like that. A lot of people like to chase those points.
Yeah.
So he's going to be a hard one to get, I'm assuming. But if you could sneak him on your roster, I mean, I don't know. He's definitely interesting. Next guy isn't quite as sexy. He's a junior. It's Malachi Hosley. Not sure how to pronounce that. It's from Georgia Tech. So he's kind of the second guy with Jamal Haynes. But he's been pretty dang efficient. So like week one, he versus Colorado, he had 7 rushing attempts, 47 yards at 6.7 yards per carry. Next week he had 9 for 100, so 11.1. Following week versus Clemson, he hit 3 for 13 for 4.3, and then this past week versus Temple, he had 5 for 59, 11.8. So, I'm not rushing to pick him up, but that efficiency and that run game has always been pretty good with Jamal Haynes this past few years. So with him graduating, I think I'm pretty sure he graduates and moves on this year. I think he's out of eligibility. So if this guy takes over the job, I'm going to be tracking him throughout the year and then looking for maybe trying to grab him before I saw like the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And then he goes to supplementals basically.
So, right.
I'm at least looking at him now, watchlisting him now, and then keeping an eye. If he gets worse, then obviously I'd forget about him. But at least I want to be keeping an eye on him and then looking at him probably more towards the end of the year. But if you have a completely depleted roster, then I might just pick him up now. You know what I mean? And yeah. I have good amount of budget on my waivers, so I might just grab him. But he's definitely one I'm looking at more in the year. And for the future, but just to keep an eye on. And he's 2% rostered as well. So
I like that. A little bit of a heady play there too. Especially if you think about starring him now, waiting towards the end of the season just to make sure that he doesn't go to supplemental.
Exactly. And then also too, I forgot to mention, he did score 2 touchdowns this past weekend, and 2 weeks ago he scored 2 touchdowns as well. So even though he's sitting there, we play a lot of best ball. He's randomly spiking, and as fishing as he is, he's still throwing up 2 tutty weeks twice now. So, interesting. Could be a little benefit there with a stash.
Yes, sir.
So, that's one of them. Next guy, we got a redshirt freshman, I believe. Yeah, his name's Kobe Martin. Yeah, he's a redshirt freshman. He's on Indiana. He dominated this past week, but everybody did. He also dominated Illinois State the week prior, but he went out the week before, both weeks in cleanup duty, but he went 11 for 109 and 2 touchdowns, 9.9 yards per carry. And then this past week, it was 12 for 107 for 8.9 yards per carry and 2 tutties. So, I mean, he's looked good, but he's also kind of cleanup duty.
Right.
He's 2% rostered. He's a redshirt freshman, so he's got a ton of eligibility. And as good as that offense has looked the past 2 years, I'm at least interested in him because of that offense. And if they're going to keep flying like they've been the past few years, that's interesting for somebody potentially taking over, especially being that efficient. So,
yep, chasing good offenses, man. Chasing good offenses.
Yeah, and young guys who are looking efficient. Yep.
Ascending to that next role.
Exactly. So he's somebody I want to at least star, might pick up, but definitely star. And then the last guy, McReynolds. His name is Braylon McReynolds. if I can spell that right. And he, I think I brought him up like maybe week one. He played a cupcake matchup week one, but he went 11 for 113. And so I think I was interested in him then. Then he played Bama and had a pretty subpar week because they're UL Monroe. And he ran for 3.4 a carry. And this past week he played UTEP and went back off again with 18 attempts for 107 yards and a touchdown. So he looked pretty decent this past week. Good volume. And then he has like an all green schedule. It's like beautiful coming up. It's like Arkansas State, Northwestern, Coastal Carolina, Troy, Southern Miss, Old Dominion, Southern Alabama, Texas State, and what's called? I don't know the last team, but yeah, looking all green. So he looks at least decent for the competition he's playing. So he's a smaller guy. He's 5'7", but if he's going to be that efficient and he's playing against all green schedule the rest of the way, interesting CFF play. So he's only 8% rostered, but that's I think my last guy that I'm kind of interested in of the week.
Yeah, Barry's already got him on his roster, so
does he?
Can't get him on this one.
Dang. Yeah, I think I had roster him in one league, and he's available in the two other. So,
kind of interesting why we're going through it too. For whatever reason, Mackenzie McGill not rostered in this.
Yeah, league. Yeah. McGill was available in, I want to say three of my leagues. McGill, let me check. Just one. Yep, he's rostered in two and available in one. So,
man, I have a dearth now because of you at the running back position,
dude. Yeah, these running backs are almost easier to find sometimes. A lot of the wide receivers get picked up pretty good, but it's nice looking for these guys that are efficient and it's easy to get hits on them.
Yep. I might need to balance this out a little bit here as we move forward these couple weeks. And
before we gotta start finding more wide receivers.
Yeah, more wide receivers, less on the running backs. We're doing okay. We're doing okay. A lot of show favorites on here, you know, like Mr. Ashley picked up last week out of Ball State, right?
How'd he do, though?
He did all right. 23.5 right. Fantasy points, yeah. My man going out and showing out. So, and then I did get to see it. Again, kind of a blowout game, but he finally got some more run. De'Aaron Hill, mm-hmm. Oregon, yep. Mm-hmm. Which always just it irritates me when I go look at my roster, too, because I had such high hopes for Mekhi Hughes, who continues to do absolutely nothing.
Yeah, that was brutal. That was definitely brutal.
You can't let some of these guys go. I just want to drop them and get rid of them, but I just can't bring myself there yet.
No, unfortunately. Yeah, it's brutal. Yeah, he was probably like maybe the biggest disappointment out of all the transfers too, which sucks.
What I really need help at is tight end, because tight end is so hard to find. And Michael Trigg yeah. cannot continue to carry me every week.
I really got to start looking at tight ends too. I avoid the position so much. I just don't care that I'm bad at that. I got to start looking as well. So
I'll give you one right off the rip. First guy I clicked on.
Mm-hmm.
Dallin Bentley, Utah. Okay. Last 2 weeks, 9 targets and 8 targets. Right? I'm just going to chase targets, you know.
14% rostered, too. So.
Yep. Readily available.
You love to see that.
Yeah, it's real tough to find tight ends, man. It just is the kind to find consistent ones.
Yeah.
Dude, every time you click on one and you just look at the targets over the last couple games, it's like you get four.
Yeah, that's my issue. You get two.
But no, Dallin Bentley being available and then looking at the last 2 weeks of targets, that might be a guy you need to go out and just nab up.
I grabbed another guy from Utah who didn't work out this past week, but they've been giving him carries too, which is one of the reasons why I was like, oh, that's interesting. What is his name? I'm trying to find him. Is he? I know he's in one of my teams. Hunter Andrews. Looks like he's a redshirt freshman.
All right.
Yeah, he's on Utah as well. And honestly, the only reason I kind of grabbed him was because of all the carries he had, and it was kind of funny. Yeah, so what was it, week one? Oh, week one, he did nothing. Well, he had one rush for 25 yards as a tight end. Week two, three targets, three receptions for 19 yards. Then he had five rushes for 21 yards. Week three was five targets, five receptions, 44 yards. And then he had six rushing attempts for 62 yards and a touchdown. And then this past week, he had two targets, two receptions, 2 yards. So not great this past week, but the other 3 weeks he's been doing all right. So, and mainly I was like, why is this guy getting carries as a tight end? But I was like, all right, I'm interested. That's kind of funny.
Yeah, I think I just need to stop chasing at the tight end, you know, drafting those freshmen, those upcoming ones. You know, I'm still rocking Carter Nelson from Nebraska, who has a grand total of one target on the season. Just because I was so interested in the move from wide receiver to tight end, and they don't want to use him. Like, they just don't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
There we go. We'll just spend a buck. You know, welcome to the squad, Dallin Bentley.
I got the Gellenborg from Wyoming, and the dude is like decent and then like constantly gets hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like rostering more than like however many tight ends I need to start.
Right. Just the bare minimum.
The bare minimum. So it's like, dude, do I cut this guy and pick him up? Ugh.
I think that's probably, especially with this C2C 2.0 team moving forward, mm-hmm. for me, is we're just going to be just strictly production. I'm not chasing any type of upside because, like you said, I don't want to roster any more than I have to. You don't get that much out of the position. So just sitting here on roster spots with like Amari Nyblack still, you know, getting like two targets a game. Mm-hmm. As much as you like to, you know, Andrew Olesh, freshman at Penn State, right? Like the developmental kind. I think I just need to forego that when I'm doing roster construction on this kind of team. And I think on all my C2C teams moving forward, I'm just going to go at production at the tight end and try to streamline that with as few roster spots as I possibly can get so I can open it up for everything else.
Everything else that's more important. So
really, you know, on the dynasty side, I have no problem leaning into that A-Warp tight end life, right? Mm-hmm. And just going with, you know, like one Hunter Henry and one Juwan Johnson is going to be all I'm going to roster at tight end and dynasty. Why not do the same on the C2C? It's actually more beneficial over here because most of the tight end production is flat out just gross. Yeah. It's
you might have like three or four guys tops
all year.
Oh yeah, that are going bonkers. But other than that, it's you're not really missing too much. You can usually make up for it from just like random dudes.
I mean, right now I'm looking at top scoring tight ends in this league format, right? Jeremiah Franklin, 21.66. Michael Trigg, 21.4. Those are the leaders at just barely 20 points. You know, and that's a heavy tight end premium league. Justin Jolly and Dorian Thomas. That's it. That's all you got. Right? All those guys are sub 20, so who gives a shit? Like, who gives a shit after that, really? Stop drafting for developmental or upside. Just go for production.
Facts. Yeah, like you said, I'm looking at mine. Mine's a little bit different scoring because it's not no bonuses or whatever. I got a standard league I basically created just to look at stats to make it more even. It's a normal PPR league, and there's only two people above 20 points. Was it one, two, three, four people above 17 points? And then, then it's like 16, 15, 14, the 3-14. So, like, worst case scenario, if you get any random dude to score you 8 points, you're barely behind. You're making up for it everywhere else. It's so crazy. It's not helpful.
Yeah, you go over and you look at, like, wide receivers. You got 27 points, 24 points, 22 points, 22 points. Then you go to the running backs, 35, 33, 31. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, your quarterback's out there dropping 40 burgers, Mr. Sawyer Robinson. Jesus, come on, man. Sawyer Robinson, 41. Like, yeah, why am I wasting time on tight ends who maybe get me six?
It's
a waste of a spot.
And then if they make the NFL, they're probably not doing anything.
Yeah. Yeah, so, more than likely, right? They're the next Terrence Ferguson. Woo! Can't wait.
We still only have like three tight ends that do anything in the NFL, so even less.
The NFL keeps drafting them and tricking us, you know, like they got second round draft capital.
Right.
We ain't gonna play him though. We're not even gonna make him active on game day.
And he's blocking.
Yeah. Just so you can get like, who is that fucking Hawes kid from Buffalo catches a touchdown? And you're like, what the fuck? Who's this guy?
Yeah, just what we all needed. You love
it's a great time.
All right. Last thing before we get out of here, will you next week we actually got some cool matchups. We got I can't believe we wrote this down. We got USC versus Cheese Sticks, Illinois. So maybe they can redeem themselves and we'll see.
Maybe.
Maybe. It's hard to come back from that. So we got that matchup. We got LSU versus Ole Miss, 4-13.
That's going to be a good one. And Lane Kiffin's daughter, Dayton, star linebacker from LSU, announced today.
Let's go. I didn't see that.
Yeah. A little gamesmanship. We don't know which side is being played. Yeah. Who's getting the inside information here?
Well, which side she's standing on?
I don't know. We'll find out after Saturday.
All right. 2:30. Okay. Next game, we got Penn State versus Oregon, 3-6. That should be sweet. That's a good game. And then the last one is Georgia versus Bama. Those are the big ranked games we got going on.
And don't forget, Iowa has a chance at home.
I almost playing Indiana.
Playing Indiana. Come on.
Yeah.
Mark Gronowski's got a chance to shock the world.
Yeah. How many guys letting up this week?
Come on. We're only going to give up like six, you know.
Okay.
The defense. No, I'm just kidding. It's going to be tough. It's going to be real tough, especially with how big of a shootout game that Rutgers game turned into. That was kind of shocking.
Yeah.
So both teams didn't have any problem going up and down the field on each other.
Rutgers offense.
High-powered Rutgers offense versus the high-powered Iowa Hawkeyes offense. It's the shootout.
Just what you expected to see.
Just exactly. Exactly. No, there's some good matchups. Tennessee goes on the road to play undefeated Mississippi State. Now they really haven't played anybody, but still undefeated SEC team in week five. Come on.
Okay.
Got to pay attention a little bit.
Yeah, and no, there's some good minor matchups for sure.
Then unfortunately, we get to see more Colorado on our television sets at 9:15 if you're staying up late to watch the Fighting Mormons of Brigham Young. Young University.
I don't know if I'm going to watch that one.
No, I don't think so. The real marquee matchup, though, Oregon-Penn State.
Yeah.
No, there's Big Ten futures being decided on that game for sure.
For sure. Yeah, that's going to be huge. And the LSU-Ole Miss. I really, really want to see both those games.
Yeah, that Penn State offense better fucking show up. If they do not show up, Oregon will blow them out at home on whiteout, right?
Like, oh, it's whiteout?
It's a whiteout.
Oh, yep. Okay. That's exciting. That's a good
game. On plus note, it's on NBC too, so we get to get a little bit different commentators than what you normally do for those games. So you don't have to listen to Herb Street talk about his dog.
That's fair. Nice. I don't know. I don't know why I'm excited to see the Georgia-Alabama game too. I think they're gonna get. Alabama's going to get dominated. But that's always fun watching those two guys go up against each other. Mike, I think you're muted.
You gotta watch your Ohio State Buckeyes travel all the way out to Washington to face the undefeated Huskies. Tough place to play out there, too.
I mean, that actually would be a fun game to watch only because of Jonah Coleman.
Denzel Boston. Come on, Denzel Boston's doing his thing.
And DeMond. To be fair.
DeMond is starting to play quarterback.
Yeah.
He's starting to play cornerback.
You see his stat line last week?
Yeah, DeMond looked good.
Homie went off. He was looking real good. So, yeah, that you're not wrong. That one would be interesting. If those guys can keep it going versus, like, a big school like that, that'd be really cool to see.
Yeah, well, and we didn't even touch on it, but poor Arkansas, man. They go on the road to Memphis, right? Like, first off, I was like, how the fuck's Memphis even get an SEC team to come play at Memphis, right? Like, how much money they have to pay to agree to, like, a home-at-home series with Arkansas. Like, what the hell? And then Arkansas gets beat at Memphis. Big win for the Fighting Tigers of Memphis. Let's go, man.
That is crazy.
Back in the day, man, here's a little history. I used to go to Memphis Tiger football games, you know, way back in the day. Yeah, back when D'Angelo Williams was playing at Memphis. What? D. Will.
Okay, cheesesteaks. I mean,
I've been in the Liberty Bowl a few times, man. It is in the...
I didn't know Mike got around like this.
It's not in a great part of town. Let's just... it's rough down there, but... Hey, the Liberty Bowl was also a piece of shit. I'm sure they've upgraded it since then. But yeah, I used to watch D'Angelo Williams play live when he was at Memphis. Been to a few Tigers games.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I don't know. It's a fun fact.
Yeah, a little fun fact for you.
All right, man. Well, I think that's it for the night that I got going on. Do you have anything else you want to touch on before we get out of here?
Nope. I'm trying to be touch-free. You know what I'm saying? So I look pale as shit, like I need to hit the tanning booth. It's just the color from my face has not returned yet. Oh,
you're looking a little rough. I know we're not doing videos, so not everybody can see you tonight. But yeah, it's Mike needs to go to bed.
Yeah, I missed start sit yesterday. I missed the recap show. You know, there was no content that was going to happen. I was just trying not to die.
Drained out of him.
Yeah, it was gone. It was gone. For the first time in a long time, too, you know, football's on, and I'm taking a nap. You know what I mean? Like,
I feel that.
I was just dead to the world.
I get that. But all right, brother, it's been awesome talking to you, man. I will talk to you again next week, bro.
Yes, sir. Hopefully,
I'll be on a mission to find some wide receivers and tight ends for you. That's the goal.
With more color in my face.
All right, brother, you have an awesome week, man, and I'll talk to everybody next week.
Yep, we'll see everybody. Make sure you like the podcast. Leave us a review if you can. We appreciate the support. We're out of here.
Peace.